Hello and welcome to a late and solo recording episode of Previously in Europe. Hugh is away dealing with Hugh stuff, so I'm here to talk to you about things that happened in Europe. Hooray! Jim Giroux, let's go. All right. I'm just going to do some headlines this week, some kind of like stories, do them quite briefly rather than our usual kind of discussion stuff. It's just going to be the facts. Well, not really. It'll be my interpretation of the facts, as always. But, you know, the facts. Okay, so Italy is going into a recession. This is pretty bad, namely because this is like the fourth recession that Italy's had since 2008, which was a fun year in terms of recessions. Shrunk for the second time in a row in the last quarter, 2018, indicating the country is sliding into a recession. Internal and external press are blaming the nightmare coalition government of Five Star Movement and La Lega, but the coalition itself is blaming the previous administration. Deputy Prime Minister Luigi Di Maio said that the data certified the failure of the entire political class which Italians sent packing last year. Reuters is quoted having him said that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the response from the current government and coalition as to how to handle an Italian recession. I predict not good. Not good at all. We're not fans of them here on this podcast. Okay. In a very strange move, Emmanuel Macron is considering holding a yellow vests referendum. The French weekly journal, the French weekly Journal du Dimanche. It's been a while since I've done French. Is citing government sources for saying that this is unlikely to happen. The chances of it happening are very high, according to a government source, and it will happen on May 26th, at the same time that the European elections are happening. The French press seems to be pretty unanimous that this is a bad idea, to use a referendum to quell or supposedly end a popular will. It's an odd strategy, but the French press are citing Brexit, Renzi's constitutional referendum, and Tsipras's bailout referendum, which have happened all over the course of the last couple of years, as like being disastrous examples of this idea. The actual government itself has not confirmed the vote, but Macron said last week that a referendum was one of the possibilities on the table, and this was a fitting way to end his grand debate. Fucking nerd. The Le Journal du Dimanche is reporting that voters might be asked if they want to reduce the number of national legislators and potentially impose term limits as part of an effort to overhaul the French political system. But you know, nothing about reinstating the wealth tax, which is like the large linchpin of the issue. Anyway, keep an eye on this, because if it's actually going to happen on the 26th of May, which was the original reports of when it would happen, it has to be confirmed in the next couple of days, before the end of this week, basically. There is a new political party in Poland that's maybe off to a flying start. To give context to this, Polish politician Robert Biedron launched a new party on Sunday called Spring. He promised to phase out coal power by 2035, end state subsidies for church and tax exemption for clergy members, legalize abortion and same-sex marriage. He's also promised to boost welfare and healthcare spending in a program dubbed populist by his opponents. He very confidently said, "I will be prime minister," he told supporters in a rally in Warsaw ahead of elections in the autumn. Biedron is a former member of the Democratic Left Alliance, which is like Poland's traditional centre-left, but they're only like polling at 5% due to a history of corruption scandals. He is the former mayor of Słupsk, a town in the northwest of the country, close to the Baltic Sea and the German border. Generally, you know, the west of Poland is considered the more progressive side. He's an LGBT activist and serves on the board of NGO Campaign Against Homophobia. He's openly gay and an atheist. This is an interesting tactic in Polish politics to see whether, you know, just outright a more aggressive stance on social policies might be the way to challenge Poland's horrifying political zeitgeist. Time will tell, I guess. Slight warnings, though, is that he has been compared to Macron by newspapers that don't know that it's a terrible idea to favorably compare someone to Macron. I would say that's a kind of unfair comparison, though. Macron wasn't really offering any new... He wasn't offering anything new to the French people. He had a European platform, and he had a kind of I'm not Le Pen platform, but largely the actual economic reforms that he was proposing are very unpopular within France. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how this guy does. He is kind of reportedly third way in his economics, and... yeah, despite some just extra press and his party having a very successful head of the movement in himself, Robert Bijon, from my perspective, my initial glance, I would still recommend Polish people vote for Razem. Razem don't poll very well, they're only about 2%, but they have a firmer economic platform while also promising a lot of the things that he's promising, like reducing coal and better abortion laws, legalizing same-sex marriage. But a more important thing, they want to eliminate the CEZs, the special economic zones in Poland, which is like this weird cyberpunk dystopian thing that happens in countries nowadays where there's a small sliver of land with the size of an industrial estate in your country where the labor laws don't apply. That's basically what they are. Sometimes there are environmental laws or tax laws that don't apply, but more often than not, it's labor laws. And these have largely been implemented in developing countries, mostly. And China is a big proponent of them as an economic... strategy. I think Poland is pretty much the only country in Europe that has special economic zones, CEZs, but they are kind of terrifying, that there's these workplaces that you could possibly work for in your country, and the laws don't apply. Literally you walk in, it's there is only one rule, there are no rules. Yeah, it's a weird situation, and I get the feeling that it's not really talked about an awful lot in Poland, but those things need to fucking go. But back to this Robert Bijon guy. Yeah, early polls are showing that his party are around 9%. I seen that reported in Politico, but I can't seem to find the initial poll suggesting that he would get around 9% of the vote. Probably because it's eluding me because I don't speak Polish, but... there you go. In some shorter news, Macedonia is probably going to join NATO. It was stated by the Secretary General of the Military Alliance of NATO on Saturday that on Wednesday this week, which will be, today's the 4th as a recording, that'll be the 7th? 6th. Wednesday the 6th of February, North Macedonia, as it's being called, now will join begin the process to join NATO. So... that was quick. Now that their name is confirmed and they're not going to get any opposition from Greece, they're probably joining NATO now, which is interesting. Facebook is fucking at it again. The German Justice Minister, Katharina Barley, from the Socialists and Democrats in Europe and from, SPD here in Germany, has slammed the tech giant Facebook. Again, she's done this before. Warned the company might be attempting to create a messaging monopoly. This is in response to what was revealed, I believe, some point last week, that there's plans to make the various platforms of Facebook cross-compatible. Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger are likely to merge in some way. This was announced by Facebook's global head of public affairs in an interview with Politico. That man is Nick Clegg, because of course it is. What a fucking world we live in. He confirmed on Monday that the company was looking at how to make its messaging services interoperable under one data architecture. Zuckerberg confirmed reports that the company was considering merging its messenger services after this interview. German language media has been ringing alarm bells about privacy and data centralization, which is a key concern in the German zeitgeist due to a history of that, those kind of systems being abused. And German government is shoring up EU allies to take on Facebook at a European level, which is probably the only level you could take on Facebook. So, yeah. Oof-a-doofa. In an EU draft regulation on visas for Brits post-Brexit, the EU stated in this draft regulation that Gibraltar is a colony of the British Crown. This got a lot of British politicians and public figures all their jimmies rustled, saying that it was inappropriate to call Gibraltar a colony. It is. I really don't think there is any nuance on that. It's got a modicum of self-government, but it's largely under the control of the British Crown and doesn't really have a great deal of autonomy. It is on the UN's list of non-self-governing territories, and non-self-governing territories is the nice, politically correct way of saying colony in the modern era. This doesn't really come as a surprise for anyone who has a critical analysis of the structure of the United Kingdom. The UK is responsible for 10 of the 17 entries on the UN's list of non-self-governing territories. This was something the UN kind of started in the mid to late 50s of recognizing, hey, what is a colony? And general idea that colonies were bad, which was a very new concept at the time. And there was different strategies to handling this. The US created this new weird constitutional thing called a Commonwealth, which applies to Puerto Rico and the Mariana Islands, which means they have a certain amount of self-autonomy that isn't revocable by any US branch of government. So I question whether seemed to settle the UN. I think those are still fairly colony-esque structures, but what have you. Other dependent territories were either made states since then, like Hawaii and Alaska. Other situations occurred where, various, islands and things that were formerly colonies were granted independence or incorporated into the actual metropole of the country. That's what France did. France turned a lot of its overseas colonies, especially small islands in the, South Pacific and Caribbean, into just, really, really far away constituencies of France, which, I guess that's a fine way of doing it. Yeah, sure. There's some logistical problems, but not a huge problem. But, France still has entries in the current list, New Caledonia. The UK just tried to pull one over on the rest of the world by renaming what these things are, by calling them overseas dependencies or Crown buddies. They just renamed them, but they're functionally still colonies. The UK and Spain are both reading this as the EU siding with Spain on their claims over Gibraltar, which I think is a bit of a stretch. You can hold the position of calling Gibraltar a colony without saying it should go to Spain. As far as I'm concerned, Gibraltar would be fine if they were just, if they could send MPs to the House of Commons, and vote in referendums, which, they have been allowed to vote in referendums in the past. It's this weird thing because there are no rules for referendums in the UK. They just kind of make it up as they go. Anyway, in my last little bit of news, the Prime Minister of Finland has made some like worrying talk, which I think we're probably going to hear more of in the next couple of months, which is that he told Politico that the European Council cannot and will not be required to follow the EU Spitzenkandidat process in choosing the next European Commission president. There are some countries that are very openly aggressive towards the Spitzenkandidat process, namely those that are being headed up by a government that isn't in the European People's Party, because the European People's Party have largely turned back, have largely resulted in the being the largest party in the European Parliament. So therefore, their candidate is usually the shoe-in if you're to strictly follow this system. Which is fair. I could see that criticism, considering that like the number of EPP-controlled governments has been like slowly going down since the last European election. Like, since then, the EPP has lost. Spain is a good example of a big one they've lost. And they've also lost elections where they were at one point considered shoo-ins. Like, everyone thought that, you know, the centre-right Forza Italia was going to be, like, in charge of Italy after that last election. But no, that didn't work out. And everyone thought that the Les Républicains candidate was probably going to win, get the election for the French president in France. That didn't happen. So, yeah, but they still, due to just being still quite popular in Germany and Greece and a handful of other like key countries, even though they're not in government, they still produce, they're still very likely to bring back the most MEPs. So, Juha Sipilä, Finnish is a very strange language. Juha Sipilä is the Prime Minister of Finland. He is a member of ALDE, and he kind of doesn't like the Spitzenkandidat system. In the past, ECR governments like Poland and the UK have also been very openly opposed to the system. Yeah, so it is interesting, though, because the ALDE party is usually considered the most federalist European party, and the last election they were big fans of the Spitzenkandidat system when Guy Verhofstadt was their like main Spitzenkandidat. But apparently they've changed tact this coming election, and they are putting forward a shortlist of several candidates rather than just picking one, that they're like, here, European Council, pick one of these. So yeah, that'll be interesting. And I just find it funny because the main reason this guy doesn't want to do it is like, I don't like this. Here's the quote from the Finnish Prime Minister. I don't like this idea about Spitzenkandidats. I think that in democracy, we have to make compromises also, but, you know, not with the electorate or the parliament. Yeah, I'd be much more in favor of the I'd probably be more in favor of like a system where the candidate has to be like selected by the parliament rather than the council. So it comes from the parliament, but it's not picked by the parliament. It's picked by the council, the heads of each European state at the time of the election. So yeah, let's see how that goes. Yeah, that's all the news that I found kind of noteworthy from the last week. Thought there was some weird stuff in there and some funny stuff. So yeah, I'm very interested to see how this new Polish party goes. Yeah, we'll have to catch up on that probably after the elections. There's elections in Poland this year, as far as I remember. I can check the list later. Anyway, thanks for listening. Check us out on all the social medias like you usually do. Give us a review, and we'll be back to a regular episode next week. Thanks for listening.